Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Mary set out and traveled to the hill country in haste to a town of Judah, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the infant leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, cried out in a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how does this happen, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For at the moment the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the infant in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed are you who believed that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled." And Mary said, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked upon his lowly servant. From this day, all generations will call me blessed. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. He has mercy on those who fear him in every generation. He has shown the strength of his arm and has scattered the proud in their conceit. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones and has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has come to the help of his servant Israel, for he has remembered his promise of mercy, the promise he made to our fathers, to Abraham and his children forever." Mary remained with her about 3 months and then returned to her home. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you.
I have to admit that I get a little verklempt when I have the privilege of standing here to do this on this feast day. It's not that it's Father Chris's anniversary. It's not even that it is the Feast of the Assumption, but it's my mom's birthday. She would be 113 today. The thing that astounds me most is that I was born when she was 90. One ancient story of this understanding of the faithful that has been around since the very earliest communities, one ancient story of this says that Mary was in the presence of the apostles when she fell asleep at her dormition. She was placed in a tomb, and very soon thereafter, the tomb was found to be empty. My favorite version of this story adds to that that Thomas did not witness the empty tomb himself, and when told about that, wouldn't believe that either. That Mary was brought body and soul into God's presence at the end of her natural life has been a part of the sense of the faithful since the beginning. It wasn't until the 9th century that Pope St. Leo IV made the celebration that had already been going on almost everywhere for centuries, made it a universal feast of the church everywhere on the planet. And then it was Pope Pius XII who formally proclaimed this to be true about Mary, and that it is a matter of dogma, that is, deepest belief, firmest belief within the church. That was November 1st, 1950. And I was alive then. Hadn't been born yet, but I was alive. My mom still had some work to do in the deal. When Pope Pius made this solemn proclamation, He wrote that it was the moment preordained by God in history that this should be proclaimed. Now, those of you who remember the 50s, or those of you who have seen shows, movies about the 50s, do you think of them as terrible times? We kind of have this idea of, gee, it's Eisenhower's America and the 57 Chevy. I mean, come on. But in 1950, in fact, the world had just finished two enormous wars. First, the war to end all wars, and then the war that followed that one. Those who survived had seen millions of violent deaths, men, women, children, twisted corpses, horribly, horribly desecrated human remains, skeletal survivors of Nazi death camps. In Hiroshima, Japan, and in Nagasaki, Japan, there were shadows on walls that were the only thing left of men, women, and children who had been vaporized instantly. And the most populous nation on earth had just fallen to authoritarian communist rule. It really did look like the world was on an unstoppable slide to a horrible future. And did you notice that the things I just mentioned were not natural disasters? They were not acts of God. They were acts of us, acts of humanity against humanity. We were doing that on an unthinkable scale. At the same time, an enormous part of the world seemed to be turning away from any idea of God, from any thought that there was something more than personal or tribal or national gain. There had never been a time when so much of the world was in such visible, desperate pain. That was the exact moment when the church needed to speak out about light coming out from darkness, about humanity's ultimate destination. Through the example of Mary, the proto-Christian, she did know the extent of humanity's inhumanity. She stood in the shadow of the cross. But Mary lived through the pain of that day in Christian faith, that is, in hope, waiting faithfully for the redemption and the glory that was to follow. When I described the world in 1950, did any of you have the passing thought, eh, big deal, we are worse off today. We can vaporize everybody, everywhere. We can turn the whole world into shadows. That's when it's really a good time to look and remember Mary. She had the ability to see the moments of grace inside of darkness. She had enormous endurance in faith. And she has a wonderful power of intercession for us right now. She shows us how to see the truth of God's faithfulness and how to persevere until that becomes visible to us too, so that we can say also that the Almighty has done great things for us, and holy is his name.